The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
One of the things that they said about the 96 Olympics was it was the Olympics of the woman. Us, women's gymnastics, basketball, synchronized swimming, seeing all of us that were beneficiaries of Title IX. The incredible example of if you invest, if you give them the opportunities, that this is what happens. Incredibly proud to be a part of that group, of knowing that we stood on the shoulders of the giants that opened the doors for us with Title IX.
Tomorrow, we will have game one of the best of three Women's College World Series Championship Series at top-seeded Oklahoma, taking on their rivals from Texas. Our coverage begins 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, before we start a new hour, I just want everyone to watch this. Ninko, I'll start with your reaction. This is Myles Garrett. You just tell me, the man of this size, oh, wow. My goodness, what do you think of that?
That's impressive. I would be toppled over that box and on the floor. But that's he's very explosive. There's a reason why he's such a good defensive end, yes.
JJ, what do you think of that?
I could do this when I was like 26.
Get out of here. You could do that?
No, that's very impressive. CJ, you don't have those.
CJ, could you do that?
I could jump on a box, but I don't know if I could jump on a box. Shout out to my Cleveland Browns. This might be our year.
How about that? Diana, could you do that?
Yeah, I do that every morning before the show. That's actually my warm-up.
Greeny, could you jump off that box?
No, I mean, not without a spotter under any circumstances. All right, with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We have put together a phenomenal squad because we are jam-packed on a busy day. Let's roll it. It's time to get up. And we're getting up with Tom Brady because the GOAT is back where he belongs. He is headed out to the practice field as we speak. You will see it live as he begins his historic season. Meanwhile, goading Green, can the Celtics draw Draymond into taking himself out of the NBA Finals? We're getting you ready for Game 3. Plus, are they scripting a Hollywood ending in La La Land for this star-crossed superstar? Or is it the biggest mistake the Lakers could possibly make? We're talking about that and more as we get up with you, starting now with Draymond Green. Game 2, of course, he was one of the central figures. He was stirring the pot on Sunday, picked up an early tech, generally being a nuisance to the Celtics, leading our Jeff Van Gundy to go on the Low Post podcast yesterday and say this about how the Celtics should react.
You either have to come to the idea as a group that we're going to completely ignore Green, his antics and his disruptions, or we're going to confront him every single time he runs his mouth. I would try to get the earliest double T of all time. And then every time Green's running his mouth, turn and confront him.
Okay, let's deal with both of them. I think that's really fascinating. It's the second time this morning we ran that soundbite, and both times you laughed as he said something about getting the double T's. But I want to start with the ignoring him. When Draymond is being Draymond, and he is, you could just, I mean, anyone watching the games can see the stuff that he's doing. Can you ignore it? Is it possible?
It is possible to ignore him, and I think he'll just continue to talk to himself, which is, you know, his MO and how he gets himself going. It's also how he gets the Warriors going. But I think, like I said before, it's the Fugees. You got to kill him softly with your play. You have to continue to perform at a high level, knock down shots, maybe give him a couple glances. You know, I've been known to stare at the bench on occasion, but I think that kind of gets him more pissed off. And then, as he referenced later, the double T may come because he's going to be upset with how things are going.
How about it, JJ? The ignoring him piece of it. I mean, you see, Jaylen Brown wasn't having it right there. That was the moment that I thought Green might very well get thrown out of the game in that little altercation there, if you will, and many others. Can you ignore it? You've been on the floor with him. Can you ignore him?
You can, yes. You know, Draymond brings a certain energy and a certain spirit that affects the game. At times, if you're the opponent, that's a nuisance, that's an annoyance. The more important piece to this, the Celtics have to figure out how to guard Steph Curry. Like, Draymond's impact on the game with all of these antics is important, But it's not as important as figuring out how to guard Steph Curry. They've been awful in drop coverage. They've stuck with it for two games. Steph is scoring 1.7 points per possession on those possessions. Just for reference here, league best offense is about 1.16 points per possession.
Right.
So if the Celtics continue to play way back in those pick and rolls, I don't see them being able to stop this Warriors offense.
I hear you, but to go back to the previous point, if Draymond Green gets thrown out of one of these games, it would obviously have an enormous impact, not only his fiery leadership, but he's an important piece of what they are doing. So, if you're going to use Jeff Van Gundy's other strategy, try and get an early double. How do you do it? Give me the specific. You're out there.
I mean,
how are you getting him into trouble?
You throw Grant Williams out there and you just tell Grant Williams to be Draymond and see what happens. That's basically what you do.
Does that work?
I think it. As you can see right here, they're definitely talking. There's a conversation going on. The energy level will be different in the Boston Garden. The guys will be jacked up. They understand this game has to be played with a unique sense of urgency. And I think you run through a couple screens. JJ knows, you know, when I'm chasing you, you know, back in the day, and I know illegal screens come, and sometimes you just sell out, run right through it, maybe throw a little elbow. You have to
into Draymond.
Into him as he sets his screen.
A forearm. Right. Maybe not a forearm, like a forearm shiver, like more.
You
not anything dirty, CJ. I don't know, you're not a dirty player.
I'm not a dirty player, but you have to be physical, and you have to meet physicality with physicality, and Draymond has been physical. What will he do on the box out? He's checking you first, making sure he turns and hits, makes contact. It's the little stuff that's going to piss people off, and I think that's when you may get a reaction, especially if Grant comes in, knocks down a couple threes, he's looking at him, staring him in his face. That's when they're going to go nose to nose.
He is on the edge, right? I mean, he was not in any way, like you would think, you get the first double T, okay, everyone's got to just sort of back off. He wasn't doing that at all, and he talked about it afterwards. He said, that's not the way I am best for myself and for my teammates. I'm going to play on that edge, and I will live with the consequences. Well, if the consequence is him getting thrown out, that's a huge advantage, I would think, for the Celtics.
Well, it is an advantage. You know, Draymond, I played against the Warriors my first year with the Pelicans, and he was over the top, got a technical early, and then he just ramped it up. I mean, he is testing the officials at times. He is constantly towing that line. And I talked to him about it after the game, and he's like, They're not gonna throw me out. Like, I'm allowed to get away with more once I get that first tee. He knows that. But look, in game two, all this stuff that we're talking about, all these antics, like, he didn't do anything to me that warranted an ejection. You know, that's the important piece of this. It's not like there was some egregious act where we're sitting back here watching the film and being like, oh my gosh, how did he not get thrown out? This is who Draymond is. This is what he brings to a game.
And this statistic, which we showed you earlier, is just unbelievable. A, the fact that he has that many technicals, which means he has at least 28 technicals in the postseason throughout his long and again, extraordinary career and all these games that they've won, but also that they tend to win when it happens. So you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't as you walk this line. Bottom line, if this is you and you're a Celtic, and you're walking out on that floor tomorrow night, is Draymond Green in your head or not in your head before tip-off?
He's not in your head. I think, as JJ referenced, Steph Curry's in your head. That third quarter is haunting you. You're having nightmares about it because you know you can't win this series if you continue to lose the third quarter the way you have been losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think MA is going to make some great adjustments in X's and O's in terms of being present at the level, but also showing different looks. You can't show arguably the greatest shooter of all time, the same pick and roll coverage over and over again. You can't have your heels on the three-point line because he can make threes from out to 40 feet. You have to be in a position to put pressure on him and to make him as uncomfortable as possible. And you have to live with the likes of Jordan Poole. You have to live with the likes of Otto Porter. Shout out to my guy Otto, who was in my draft. You have to live with them beating you because the best player in the world will beat you.
Okay.
Build on that point that CJ just said, because you go back to that Mavs series, and for early in that series, they just kept doubling him on his pick and rolls, right? And on the backside, the Warriors had 4-on-3. So that was the one look they gave them. Against Steph, against great players, you've got to mix it up within the game, not just within the series.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe first quarter you start and drop. Maybe you go to switching. Maybe you go to some blitzing. Maybe you go under. I don't even know. Like, you have to just give him different looks throughout the game.
We'll see. I'm just here for the trash-talking Draymond piece of it. I'd be fascinated to see how that thing goes as they start tomorrow night. I hold this thought. Much more on the finals as we go. But we have very interesting breaking news from the National Football League. Just moments ago, our Adam Schefter on Twitter tweeting, after missing voluntary OTAs and asking to be traded, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel is expected to attend mandatory minicamp starting today, yeah. per source. This was a big question. Actually, Diana, we were talking about this in our meeting before we came on the air this morning. This is a huge question slash issue that hovers over the 49ers. Shefty says he's showing up.
Yeah, so Kyle Shanahan recently actually said that they are expecting him to show up. Mandatory minicamp is always a different story, right? Because you get fined if you don't show up. But this is a really good sign. And from what I can gather over the last few weeks, things have really been going in a good direction for them. The 49ers want to pay Deebo Samuel. They'll work on that price and what they will get to. But we know this all started when he wanted that contract extension. He told our Jeff Darlington that he demanded a trade pretty much, or at least asked for one. And, you know, this was right around the draft, and teams were very interested in Deebo. Why wouldn't they, right? And from what I can gather, those teams that were making calls to the 49ers, they just kept getting the same type of response from San Fran, which is, we're not interested. We're really not open for business here. We want to keep this guy, and we know how crucial he is to this offense. So this is all good. This is all moving in a good direction. And John Lynch recently said he would be a fool to trade Deebo Samuel. Granted, we've seen other GMs and head coaches talk about being foolish to letting a player go, and they still do it. But this seems like it's going to work out.
Clearly. I mean, the most important thing there is the first thing you said, which is, as of today, he gets fined if he doesn't show up. So it's one thing to show up to mandatory minicamp. It's another thing for everything to be okay.
He may just show up and stand there, but he's there.
What do you think of all this, Nico?
Listen, you don't have a young quarterback and get rid of Deebo Samuel. You don't do it. You would be a foolish person to do that. So you have the guy that's so explosive in the backfield. He can catch and run out of the backfield. He does the missile motions. He does it all. He does everything. So you pay him, you keep him on the team, and you help your young quarterback progress into this season. And you need him as a guy, a go-to guy on the field. He has to be on the field for
this. That does feel like a big piece of this, Tim Hasselbeck, is they are, whether the whole world thinks they should or not, they appear in every way ready to just hand the ball to Trey Lance and say, here you go, kid. This is your show now. And to take away overwhelmingly your most important offensive weapon from that equation would seem like a very damaging thing. What do you make of it all, Tim?
Yeah, Trey Lance is going to need help. Deebo Samuel is going to provide the most help of anyone they have on the roster. And they can afford to pay him because they're going to play a quarterback that's on his rookie contract. Quite honestly, and I've said this before, they need to play Trey Lance. As much as they gave up to get him, and the fact that he essentially has played like three games since 2019, like they need to get him out on the field to find out if he can play. And look, the wide receiver market now, when you look at Stephon Diggs at like $25 million a year, look at Tyreek Hill around $30 million a year, like that's what it's going to take to get Deebo Samuel under contract. But you're able to do that if Trey Lance is on his rookie contract.
Now, it makes a lot of sense. Look, at the end of the day, they have no choice but to pay him here. Let me leave that thought for a moment because I have some other football stuff I want to get to in a few minutes. But we must get to the thriller of the night last night. We got Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final, Western Conference Final. Avalanche looking for the sweep just over 5 minutes ago in the third. We're tied at 4. Avs on a power play. That's Mikko Rantanen. Firing from the circle, the wrister, and it's good. Colorado a 5-4 lead, and they can smell it. But just over 3 minutes left, same score. Leon Draisaitl, he'll take the shot. Zach Kassian is there, right time, right place, right result. The rebound goal, and we are tied at 5. So to overtime they would go with the series hanging in the balance. And take it away, Connor McGahee on the call. Altitude Sports Radio, here we go.
Helm back from a car, lets it go, tipped on, rebound, score! It's Arturi Lehkonen! And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over.
And it was, even though the goal would be reviewed for a high stick. Take a look. The rule, the stick has to be below normal shoulder height. He's leaning over, so they say that it was. It's a good goal, and that's a wrap. Avalanche and the Oilers season. 6-5 in OT. They're on to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2001. Who will they meet? Well, we'll take a big step towards finding that out tonight. Game 4 in the East. We've got it. Rangers and Lightning with New York up 2-1 our coverage from Tampa tonight, 8 Eastern, right here on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Coming up, Steph is carrying the Warriors. But what the actual heck is wrong with his splash brother, Klay Thompson? Can Golden State win the championship with only half a splash? We're talking about it. Plus, the Browns don't want him anymore, and he doesn't want to be there. So why does it make sense for Baker to show up to minicamp? We're talking about that as we continue. And Tom Brady, live on the practice field, beginning officially today, his age 45 season. We've got the pictures coming up next. Let's get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, it's a busy day in the NFL as training camps, mandatory camps opening across the league. 12 teams getting start today, so let's get caught up with a camp pass. Diana, Aaron Donald got paid. Does this make the Rams the team to beat in the NFC?
Look, the Rams had a good chance of winning the Super Bowl without him, but now with him, it is going to be tough to beat them. He is the centerpiece of this defense, despite the fact that they actually only ranked 15th in the league last year, and Matthew Stafford led the league in interceptions, they were still able to win the Super Bowl. So if they could just repeat what they did last year, they're going to be good to go.
Yeah, those were the plays he made that won the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. Tim Hasselbeck, for the first time since 2013, the Packers are without Devontae Adams. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it means a lot. It means he doesn't have a go-to receiver that he can count on right now, which means someone's going to have to step up. It means they may not be done addressing the wide receiver position in Green Bay. And it means that Aaron is going to spread the ball around more. He's going to, you know, let coverage dictate where the ball goes more than matchup. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this season.
All right, fascinating. And then speaking of legendary quarterbacks, what you are about to see are live pictures. Here we go.
All right.
That's Tom Brady live on the practice field, a sight, Rob, that
ahead,
we
Rob,
thought
screen.
For a moment we would never see again, right? That Tom Brady retired, now he's back. This is him beginning officially his season. I don't need to tell you he's the one wearing the number 12 back there. Ninko, what do you think of this?
He looks good, you know, 45 years old.
He's wearing shorts and a shirt. He looks good.
Right now. He looks good. He looks fit. Looks like he's been running a little bit. He's hydrated. He's ready to go.
It is, again, it's a sight as we see it there that we weren't sure we'd ever see again. The question I want to ask you is,
yes,
the one guy we're not going to see out there is going to be wearing number 87 because Rob Gronkowski has not yet made up his mind whether he's coming back or not. Just how important is that decision in the big picture?
It's huge. I think Rob Gronkowski is Tom's outlet. When the game's on the line, they're in the red zone, he needs to throw it to the big target, he goes to Rob. He's been doing it for years. We've seen it in big games. We've seen it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Rob, he's probably like, you know, I'm just going to relax a little bit here. I'm going to do my workouts on my own. I'll show up at the end of training camp. He doesn't need training camp. He's that good. So I think it's vital, though, that Tom has Rob to throw to in the red zone. I mean, they really don't have a big red zone target at the tight end position if Rob doesn't play.
They don't. But the Bucs also have the number one red zone offense the last two seasons, right, with Rob Gronkowski out on the field. When he stays healthy, that is his security blanket.
It's the go-to guy. And I've been there. Listen, when Gronk came in as a rookie, I was a linebacker trying to cover this guy. He's a Hall of Famer. He was burning me up, and I was like, I can't cover the rookie. I can't. So it makes me feel better that he's played this long, and he has so many Super Bowls, and he's a Hall of Famer because he was torching me, killing me.
Again, you're seeing live pictures of Tom Brady on the practice field for the first time in this his historic age 45 season. How about that piece that you see on the screen there, Tim? Do they need Gronkowski to be the Super Bowl favorite?
I believe they do. Now, I've been on record of saying I think Chris Godwin has been their second most important offensive player for a while now. But Gronk, to Ninko's point, he's so, you know, tough to deal with in the red zone. Brady clearly trusts him in the red zone, but he also trusts him on other critical downs. That's third and six in your middle of the field. Like, he's looking for Gronk. I mean, when they're struggling, he looks for Gronk. And I will say this, which is kind of remarkable to say, because Gronk's played for a while too. Gronk's still really good in the run game, you know, and when you look at some of the things that Tampa does, they've been effective running the football. Chris Godwin's been a big part of that, but Rob Gronkowski still has been as well. And so, look, we talked earlier about Aaron Donald and his importance for the Rams. Look, I don't think it's to that level, but I think it's close.
So here's the good news, is that wherever it is Gronk is right now, Rob Ninkovich can channel him. So what would you, as we watch Tom Brady out here right now sweating and working through training camp, what exactly is going on in the head of Rob Gronkowski?
He's probably like, just say, yo, Tom, what's up? Yo, baby, what's up? I'm just by the pool chilling. Okay, I'll see you at the end of training camp. Have fun sweating. I don't know.
Spot on.
I made it up.
But it's as simple as that, right? Guys, this is not the part of the football camp calendar that particularly guys at that age and that stage of their career are looking forward to.
This part right here, you're like making sure you put enough SPF on so you don't get burned up, because you're literally standing around watching guys. And when you're a veteran, especially Tom, he's done everything. He doesn't need to throw any more passes. Just save it to the games.
Diana, I was away last week when he played in that golf thing with Rodgers and all the rest of those guys. But I was fascinated by some of the comments that he made. As again, you were seeing live pictures of Tom Brady on the practice field today for the very first time in this season. I was fascinated by how openly he talked about how really torn he was on the decision to come back. And it does lend to one wondering, not that he would do this if he wasn't all in on it, but there's always been this thought that, well, once a person considers retiring, he is pretty much retired. Here is Brady coming back and going through all of this here again, starting the first week of June.
Yeah, I think what's hard for us to comprehend is I don't think any of us know anyone like him. We haven't seen an athlete that is so mentally disciplined the way Tom Brady has been. So while I think in a normal situation, when you use that example of when someone starts flirting with that word retirement, you start thinking, well, that means they probably got one foot out the door. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's Tom Brady. He's not coming back out of retirement that lasted, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
If he didn't think that he was still the best, and he's still a challenge, and he spoke on our ESPN Plus series, Man in the Arena, about the challenge and those challenges that he faces mentally being a premier athlete, and how the sacrifices that he's had to give up over the years has been difficult for him personally with his family, and it's something he doesn't even wish upon his children, that competitive edge that has made him the greatest quarterback of all time. And then in the same token, right, Mike, you heard Aaron Rodgers at soon to be 38 years old in December speak like a normal quarterback, right, going, yeah, retirement is close, because Tom Brady is that much of a unicorn. He's that different than everyone. And Aaron Rodgers is normal in this scenario, right? Most of the great quarterbacks, Elway, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, they retired 38, 39 years old. That's the normal time you hang it up. And here's Tom Brady at 45.
Yeah, that man on your screen will be 45 years old in August. And here he is sweating in the first week of June with his new teammates. This is day one of the Buccaneers mandatory minicamp, and that is Brady back on the field. Meantime, hey, Tim Hasselbeck, you know, as we turn our attention to the opposite end of the spectrum, a young quarterback trying to make it, that's Justin Fields in Chicago. People say he doesn't have weapons. Well, hold on. Look at Darnell Mooney making an absolutely crazy catch at his youth camp against not one, not two, not three, but four defenders. How about this catch?
Get him.
Ooh. Listen, amazing catch, Greeny, but like, I don't know if I'm the Bears. I'm loving the fact that Mooney is coming down in all that traffic. healthy for the season. Well, risk associated with that.
Is this normal youth camp activity here, Ninko? I agree.
No. I would have a little talk with his agent maybe, yeah, and just say, hey, listen, you know, we're on turf here. You're jumping up with four kids around you. There's things that could happen here. We really need you.
Yeah.
You're a big part of our offense.
So let's
dial it back a little bit.
And those aren't little kids either.
They're going for the ball. When you're a kid, you're going into pro, you're doing whatever you can to try and stop him from catching the football. He's just that much better.
All right, as we roll on here, back to the finals. It's been half a splash for the Warriors. Can they fix their clay problem? We'll answer that question after this. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and the NBA Finals are tied at 1 game apiece. Let's check in on how the Stars have been doing so far. It's been an interesting debut finals for Jason Tatum. He shot just 3 of 17 in game one, then had a plus minus of minus 36 in game two. That was the worst game of his career, regular season or playoffs. Then there's Steph Curry. He's been great. He's carried the Warriors, leading all players with 63 points in the series, the most by anyone 34 or older through the first 2 games of finals since Michael Jordan. And he's had to pick up the slack for Klay Thompson, who is shooting just 30% from the floor, including 4 of 19 in game two. Our Jeff Van Gundy weighed in with these thoughts on Klay.
I can't envision in my mind how they could win this series, let alone another game, if he can't find a level of, doesn't have to be great, but super impactful and good to really good. They got to get more from Thompson.
All right, which is something I can tell you that being in the arena, I'm never clear on just how evident these things are on TV, but you can see how frustrated Klay Thompson is in the arena in body language, and that he's trying so hard. Every shot that he's taking, when they don't fall, you can see that frustration for a guy who's one of the greatest shooters that ever lived. So it's easy to say they need to get him going. Yeah. It's much harder to figure out how. How do they get Klay Thompson going?
Well, let's keep in mind some of these shots that he missed, like that one right there in game two, were bunnies. He also took 2 or 3 spot three-pointers that were just short. So some of this maybe is legs, some of it's fatigue, maybe some of it's guarding Jaylen Brown. But they've got to use him more off ball. You saw, especially in that third quarter of game two, where they went strictly to high pick and rolls with Steph Curry and Jordan Poole. They didn't run their normal movement sets, and that's generally speaking where Klay Thompson is at his best. You know, when I would struggle as a shooter, here's what I would think. Let me find a way to get a layup. Mm-hmm. Let me find a way to get to the free throw line. Let me find a way to get a transition three. If things aren't going my way in the half court, I've got to figure out other ways to score. And so the Warriors are as good as anyone at getting transition threes on a Draymond Green bust out, on a Steph Curry bust out. Like, they are so good at creating pace and pressure in transition. And that, to me, is where they can get Klay off a little bit.
How do you think, CJ, how do they get this thing going? And maybe you see the question on the screen there, or it was for a moment, and Jeff brought it up. Can they win this thing if we don't get some vintage Klay?
At first, I said they couldn't win. Then I looked at how the regular season went, how impactful Jordan Poole was. And I think they can still win, but Jordan Poole has to give them 20 to 30 points a night, which is going to be difficult against the Celtics defense. But outside of Steph Curry, he's the only one that can manufacture points off the bounce in pick and roll situations, in isolation situations. And he can create off the bounce by driving lanes and being able to find the weak side. So it will be difficult for them to win if he continues to perform and shoot the way he has been. Mm-hmm. But that just means they need more Jordan Poole. And I think he may be ready to rise to the occasion.
Well, you know, Stephen A. brought up right before the series began that out of the three of them, Steph, Clay and Poole. They need two out of the three on a given night. And so if Poole, well, look, if he's going to make shots like that one, then that's a whole other kind of conversation. But is that something that we can depend on, JJ?
No, Stephen A. is spot on this. And we've seen in this playoffs where all three guys score, and you really don't have a chance to beat the Warriors on those nights. But if two of the three, you give yourself a chance to be really, really good at the end of the game and have a chance to win. The other guy we need to talk about is Andrew Wiggins. And what is interesting about this series, that they are matching up Time Lord. They're matching up Robert Williams III with him. It's not a like-size position on the matchup. Andrew Wiggins was really impactful in game one. He struggled a little bit from the field in game two, obviously playing great defense on Tatum. But he's another guy that can give them a bounce and a lift offensively.
And so just to put it as simply as this, do you expect Clay, and this is not criticism of Clay Thompson, he's one of the great players of all time, he's coming back from not one but two potentially career-ending injuries that he had basically back-to-back. But if it is because of those injuries and the fatigue that we're seeing here, is it reasonable to expect him to have a couple of huge games in this series?
I think it's reasonable because of his work ethic and his dedication to the game. It's only a matter of time before, as JJ said before, those wide open threes start to fall. And once he does get to the free throw line, once he does get a transition or Looney gets an offensive rebound and kicks it out, all you need to do is see the ball go in one time, and then the light kind of comes on. So I expect him to have at least one good game.
Well, if he gets hot, then it could be trouble. Maybe it'll be tomorrow night. We'll see. Game three of the NBA Finals coming your way tomorrow night. We have all the action, of course, as always, on ABC and on ESPN Deportes and on ESPN Radio. We'll be in Boston tomorrow night for Game 3. Our coverage will begin with NBA Countdown, 8:30 Eastern. We hope that we will see you there. In the meantime, hey, J.J. Redick, I thought you'd enjoy this. It's Turn Back Tuesday. And this is C.J. McCollum leading the 15th-seeded Lehigh Mountain Hawks over Duke in the first round of the 2012 NCAA tournament. C.J. had 30 points.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
In that upset.
I know. You know, this was a low point in my Duke fandom and a real high point in C.J.'s career. And C.J. and I have actually talked about this publicly on both of our podcasts, I think. And I know what a big moment this was for him. It was really his coming out on the national stage, and just an awesome game for him. But yeah, I'm still mad at him for this.
How about it, CJ?
I'm forever grateful for the Duke Blue Devils for what they've done for my career. Obviously, the pristine history speaks for itself. Coach K's legacy speaks for itself. But on that night, I was definitely the best player on the floor. I can say that confidently. But I think that allowed me to get to the NBA. That kind of showed the scouts that I was capable of performing at a high level on the biggest stage. And it's funny because if I would have played poorly in that game, the perception of me as a player would be different forever. So it goes to show how important some of those big nights and those big moments are for mid-major players. And I kept the door open for the next guy, which is important. Shout out to Ja Morant.
15 over 2, yes. Ja Morant picking up that ball and running with it in a big way. Well done. Okay, we have more on the hoops as we continue. Jalen Rose going to join us as well. But right now, some QB quick reads. Let me get Tim Hasselbeck back into this conversation and run us through a bunch of different thoughts. I'm told that we've just lost him, so perhaps we'll try and get him back in a moment. This is TV in 2022. One of the things he is going to talk to us about is the situation in Cleveland with the quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who is at this moment not expected to be at training camp, as we bring Diana Russini and Rob Ninkovich back in here. And again, we will have Tim Hasselbeck back in a moment. But the idea about Baker Mayfield and whether or not he will be at camp as he remains a member of the Cleveland Browns.
Mike, we actually don't know what the situation is with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Head coach Kevin Stefanski was asked by the media yesterday, is Baker going to show up for mandatory camp next week, right? So they start next Tuesday. And he had no comment on it, right? So what does that do? To me, that translates as the door is open. Maybe this is something that the organization is still discussing, because there's a lot of tentacles to the situation, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, whether or not he'll face suspension or not. Baker's still on the team. He asked for a trade. I'm going to assume there hasn't been a lot of contact between the team and Baker. And based on Instagram, Baker's been working out, rehabbing, also vacationing as well. But this is a complicated situation because Baker doesn't want to get fined. Remember, he has to show up. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he gets fined. Unless they decide to excuse him. Remember, we saw with the Houston Texans, they actually did that with Deshaun Watson last mm-hmm. year. They said, look, you can come work out, but you're excused here. We're not going to fine you if you're not at practice. And also the San Francisco 49ers just recently did it with Jimmy Garoppolo. So he doesn't get fined. So maybe this is something where they come to agreement and they just say, Baker, stay away. You don't have to pay anything and we're all good here.
I am told we have Tim Hasselbeck back. So, Timmy, let me bring you in on this. What was your thought going to be here on Baker and the Browns and their mandatory minicamp, which, again, is a week away?
Yeah, if I'm Baker, I'm staying away until there's a decision on Deshaun Watson. Here's the deal. He's getting paid regardless. And so, you know, showing up, you know, to a team that clearly has moved on from him isn't like it doesn't force their hand in anything. Doesn't get him traded, doesn't get him released. So I think ultimately waiting to see what happens with Watson, because I do think there's still some uncertainty there, you know, I think is probably the right thing to do, or just sit and wait to eventually get released and then have your choice of where you want to end up.
It does feel like the likeliest scenario here is that we wait until actual activities begin.
Yeah.
Someone has an injury somewhere in the NFL to a quarterback, and then Baker Mayfield winds up coming there.
Yeah, and just to add to this, remember, the Cleveland Browns haven't traded him yet because they've yet to find a team that's willing to take on that fully guaranteed money that they owe Baker, which is almost around $19 million. They don't want to take that on.
What do you think of all this, Ninko?
It's awkward. It's very awkward. It's like it's like the ex-boyfriend at the family barbecue and the new boyfriend's there. You're like, well, I shouldn't be here. This is weird. This
why is
odd.
The ex-boyfriend at the family barbecue?
Yeah. Send him away.
That's a weird dynamic. That's
just
a weird
an interesting
one.
Illustration so, that you've picked. Because who is it that invites the ex-boyfriend to the family barbecue?
Maybe the dad was good friends with him and they're, you know, like, yeah, I still like him, but he's, you know, let's not completely just get him out of here. But
understood.
There's the contract there, so he's got the contract.
But to one way or another, do you If they don't trade him, I mean, there has to be a tipping point in this somewhere.
I don't think he's going to be there. I mean, clearly.
There is no scenario in which he can wind up playing for them again.
I don't think you can walk into that locker room and just be like, I'm the guy now, again. Like, it just doesn't. They already paid the guy that's going to be there. And if it's not going to be that guy, it's going to be Jacoby or, you know, whoever's going to be there in the back and backing up quarterback. Like, it's not going to be Baker. It's just
they've
not.
Moved on
they've
in
moved
every
on.
Reasonable
yes.
way.
Yes.
I have to leave it there for the moment because Jalen's ready to go. But much more obviously, that's worth keeping a close eye on. Their minicamp begins next week. As we continue, can the Lakers run it back with Russ? Their new coach unveils his plan for Westbrook. And look who had a front row seat to that. We'll talk about that with Jalen Rose. And we'll see if Jay can go head-to-head with Sneaky Hembo today. Here we go. Who is the oldest player in NBA history to win Finals MVP? That's the question. We'll see if Jalen gets. My money says he's going to get this right. We will find out in a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN. Looking good.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and here he is, the man with the best hair in the industry, and Jalen Rose. Okay, Sneaky Hembo time. I think I'm putting extra pressure on you, Jay, because I think you're going to get this one right. Who is the oldest player ever to win Finals MVP?
And see, the crazy thing about this one, that means you won a championship later in your career.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Jerry West lost, like, 7 times, and then he won it. Tim Duncan won 5, but it wasn't in his final season. Jordan did it in his final season. He walked off. Michael Jordan?
Oh, he tricked you. That's a good guess. The reason I thought you'd get it is because Magic Johnson was just talking about this with us on the set last week. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the Finals MVP at the age of 38 in 1985. How about that, Jalen?
My bad, Captain. My bad, Captain. Great job, Hembo.
Okay, score that one for Hembo, but it was a good question. In the meantime, let's talk about what we need to see from the stars in these finals as they go forward. Jalen, what do we need to see from Steph Curry?
Him to continue to be aggressive and do what I call kill shots. You see that first highlight you just showed? He didn't care that it was two guys twice his height basically guarding him because he was being aggressive. And Steph Curry is the catalyst offensively for these Golden State Warriors. And he's also getting down in a defensive stance and playing exceptional defense also.
Let's go to Jason Tatum. What do you need to see from him for the Celtics?
Efficiency. That's what I need to see. And I need him to see him do it in the second half. Greeny, we've been at each one of these conference finals and NBA finals games. Mm-hmm. We've seen Jason Tatum have amazing first halves where he flirted with 20 points or more. But church mouse in the second half. We need him to be aggressive in the second half and be efficient.
And then finally, how about Draymond Green? What do we need to see from him going forward?
If you keep doing what you're doing, Day-Day, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And here's a level of aggression. If you put his stats up there, they don't look all that good. But however, he has to stay in the game. So he's going to always walk the fine line between whether he's going to get ejected or a technical foul and or not. But you can't tell Draymond Green not to play with that edge because that's who he is. And you know what I liked about game one? He got into altercations with the head coach, Ime Udoka, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and Grant Williams, and Marcus Smart. He got into more altercations than he had field goals, Green. So it's important for him to continue to have that level of aggression.
I get it. And so earlier this morning, we played some sound bites from Jeff Van Gundy saying that if he were coaching against Draymond right now, he would try and get him into the earliest double technical ever, like try and find a way to get one of these double T's like we had at the beginning of game two in order to try and figure out a way to get him ejected, to sort of get him to take himself out of the series. How do they go about doing that?
I agree with the coach about that mentality, but that's an old school mentality where you go to the end of the bench and you go get like a Charles Oakley or a late great Anthony Mason to go in and all of a sudden they become a physical agitator toward Draymond Green. The bigs for the Celtics are skilled bigs. You want Al Horford making six threes like he did in the fourth quarter of game one. You don't want him getting technicals. You want Robert Williams III to actually play in the game because he looks hobbled out there. And last but not least, that person could and should be Grant Williams, but here's the problem with him doing that. Soon as he gets one or two fouls in the game, he's non-effective, Grant Williams. Each time he's been in foul trouble, he hasn't been an effective player. So you don't necessarily want him to be that agitator either. I don't know if they have that guy. Maybe Marcus Smart could be that guy, but he got other things to worry about, like Stephen Curry and Jordan Poole. It'll be interesting to see how Boston combats Draymond Green's tactics.
All right, game three is tomorrow night. We will all be there in Boston for that. In the meantime, I want to get your take on what happened in L.A. yesterday. So I know that you were very excited when Darvin Ham was named the new head coach of the Lakers, and they introduced him officially yesterday. And he was talking, among other things, about Russell Westbrook's role on the team going forward. Here's what the new coach had to say.
Don't get it messed up. Russ is one of the best players our league has ever seen, and there's still a ton left in that tank. I don't know why people tend to try to write him off.
Russell Westbrook was there, by the way, at the press conference. What do you think? How about the Westbrook of it all going forward, Jalen?
When you get the job, Greeny, you tag a veteran player to do something that you know he hasn't been doing, and that's playing defense. And so now we're not going to even worry about the turnovers right now. We're not going to worry about the low field goal percentage. We're not going to worry about whether he's on or off the ball. Since I know he's going to be my starting point guard likely, I'm going to need him to do something that he hasn't been doing. That's compete defensively. So now that I put that out there, if he does not do that, now I put myself in position to make him a reserve. That's what I saw. And here's the undercurrent that we didn't play. Anthony Davis also is going to be a benefactor of the hiring of Darvin Ham. He helped develop Al Horford in Atlanta, helped turn Giannis into an MVP, Brooke Lopez into a defender, and Bobby Portis into a rotation player. Now Anthony Davis, if and when he can stay healthy, the challenge is going to be to turn him back into a top 7 or 8 performer in the league. And don't underestimate, they also added Rasheed Wallace to the coaching staff. A guy that was one of the most talented bigs in the league. And both of those guys, as champions, will be challenging Russ, will be challenging AD. So LeBron don't have to. He could be the OG, go out there and play his minutes, put up his work, and then let the coaching staff focus on Russ playing defense and Anthony Davis being dominant.
It's a really interesting way of looking at it quickly, because the Anthony Davis piece of it, staying healthy is obviously the most important part. How about the Westbrook piece? Can they get from him whatever it is that they're trying to get from him? Is it still in there? Can it work with him and LeBron on the floor together?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
It can. Here's something that I want to see the Lakers do that didn't happen last year. You got to stagger their minutes and even consider making Russ a reserve. That's not a diss or a disrespect. It's just that you want to get the maximum out of LeBron as a ball handler, and you want to get the maximum out of Russ as a ball handler. And watch the Lakers do a lot more small lineups. We saw them flirt with it last year with LeBron basically playing 4, basically playing 5. That will happen so Russ can have the ball. But also play faster. Play with more tempo. Russ is still one of the most fastest, still one of the fastest players in the league. You got to get a defensive rebound. You got to get a steal. You got to get him out in transition. And also, he's making $47 million this year. I love that so very much. Now you got to get down in the defensive stance and earn that money.
Fair enough. One more thing I want to get your perspective on. Dylan, I want to show you a really stupid thing people in the world do. This is the Cooper's Hill cheese race in England. Basically, they throw this cheese down this hill, and these people just fly after it, and there's a lot of injuries, and it's just insanity. What do you think of all this?
Hey, Greeny, you know I love everyone. Talk to your people. This is cultural. This is cultural. Do you see any people out there that look like me? Let me look a little closer. I don't see anybody out there that look like me. People that look like me, we chase the cheese, but we're talking about money. Not cheese, literally. We're not trying to fall. We're not trying to roll. And we're definitely not trying to do it behind cheese. So I applaud them. Congratulations. But you will not see anybody looking like me participating anytime soon, I believe.
There's no disagreement. This is just a silly thing white people do for no obvious reason. Jalen, you're the best. I will see you tomorrow in Boston. Jalen Rose, we've got Game 3 coming up tomorrow night. First Take coming up top of the hour. They're asking, who's more important to the Rams, Aaron Donald or Matt Stafford? Plus, how worried should the Warriors be about Clay? Stephen A., Molly, Swagoo, JJ, CJ, going to be jam-packed next. Well, tomorrow we will have game one of the best of three Women's College World Series Championship Series. Top-seeded Oklahoma taking on their rivals from Texas. Our coverage will begin at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Obviously, an incredibly busy time. The hockey playoffs continuing. We'll have the Rangers and Panthers moving forward with their series as well. And then Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. But the fun continues here next. It's time for First Take on ESPN.